Okay, good evening. Continuing Chazara, so we're on Memzalad on Medalab, up to Esrei. It's 2, 4, 6, 9 lines down, I think it is. That begins with the word Mechita. Esrei Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Rava. So, the Gemara has established that the case with Nechemiah must be that the Shaila of Rav Chista was whether we pass him like Rav Eliezer, who says that the last two amos you can go even without mechitzas, and he was told, yes, I'll offer that Rabbi Eliezer, that's not a problem. And we said, why? Because if the Shaila was whether we just simply whether we pass another Rabbi Zambira, in other words, I have enough people who have an Erev or whatever it is to get out there and to create the mechitzas to get them right back in, then what's the Shaila? We know that Alokha is like Rabbi Zambira, because that's what Rab has already said. Tosis, by the way, just said, Tosis says, even though Rabbi Meir does puzzle a wool for a sukkah using animals, right? So you may say, well, in which case, why is it posher? So you've got people, so what? Is it so posher that people are good for a mechitza? And you may say, yeah, of course it's posher, because we pass in our Rabbi Yehuda. We pass in our Rabbi Yehuda. Or that is the answer to Tosis, we know that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Meir. And therefore, animals, people, it's all going to be perfectly fine. It says Tosis, don't say, no, because even Rabbi Meir agrees that people are good. Because the only reason why animals are no good is because of Shem or Tibbeth, maybe because they're going to run away. That's not true. Right? That is not true. Just one second. Sorry, because I'm just thinking one thing. If it goes weird, yeah, this Tosfos is actually the cheshbon is going to be the chayr comes out very good later on. Tosfos says you can't say that the pshat is no, because even if you go with the Rabbi Meir agrees with people because the animals only get the shem ativra, because that's not true. The Gemara says in Sukkah the reason why animals are no good is for a different reason, because of a mechitz which is made with something which got to ruach chaim, and it is no good for a mechitza, so who are then Odom, right? The Gemara later on seems to make a chiluk between Odom and Behemoth. Yeah, that's just, the Gemara is asking, according to that Manda Omar, the Gemara in Sukkah. Okay? But Avada, we already know at this stage, that Aliba de MS, there's no chiluk between Behemoth and Odom. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, it would be no good as a mechitza, and point to Rabbi Yehuda that it's good, and therefore the reason why the Gemara says it's poshut that it would work is because halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, let's move on in the Gemara. Eitzei Rav Nachman Yitzchok Rava, Rav Nachman Yitzchok asked Rava the following kasha. You're telling me you're allowed to make a mechitza with people, but with blood and a brisa. Not al doifno. If the wool collapsed, the wool of a sukkah collapsed, it's doifen fell. So, Mashmah, we're talking about the third wall, right? The third wall of the sukkah collapsed. So, lo yamid bo odom behemoth v'kelim. Don't put a human being, a behemoth or kelim, in its place. The lo yizkev v'samitza lipris aleho sodin. Don't just put the bed, you know, to put a sheet over it, put that there in the breach. Even though, as Tosfos says, doesn't look like you're doing very much in terms of making a mechitza. It looks like you're really just trying to clear space in the sukkah. You still can't do that because sof, you are going to be much in the sukkah. So don't do it. Levisha in Oisen Oyel Arayt at Chilav Yontov, because you're not allowed to make an Oyel Arayt start with on Yontov, since this is the third wall, it's actually making the Oyel Arayt start with on Yontov. And Ve'in Torah Klemah B'Shabbos, and I don't need to tell you on Shabbos, that is a zecher that you wouldn't be able to do that, right? So he said back to that, right? So in other words, you see from this, a human being, you can't make a machitz with a human being on Shabbos or Yontov. So Omale, so Rava said back to Ranach Meitzchok, he says, that's not a problem. At Omar Li Mehod, because you quote to me from that Brisa, but I mean a lot Mehod, I'll quote to you a different Brisa. Shteitin Brisa, Ose Odom is Chavei Lezofen, a person can make his friend into the last wall, well, a wall. Kedei Sheyeh Chavei Yishter, the Yoshe, in order that he can eat, drink, and sleep in the Sukkah, those are the main mitzvahs in the Sukkah, as Rashi explains. V'yizko Vesamito, he can stand up the bed, v'yipris aleho sodin, and put a sheet over it, kiddush the tip of chamal ames ala uchlin, in order that the sun should not shine down on a mace or the food to make them go bad. That will be explained in the Gemara, why we're talking about that. But al kabbalah, what you see from that is that using a human being as a mechitza is perfectly fine. Therefore, you've got your brisa, I've got my brisa, which supports the pesach of Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, and therefore everything is good. Right? Everything is good. We're all happy at the moment. Right? Tosfos just says, by the way, that which it says in the Seches Shabbos that you're not allowed to make a mechitza for a mace if you're doing it for the mace. We can say over here you're not doing it for the mace, because if the mace goes bad, then it's not going to be very pleasant for the people. It's not going to, you're not going to be able to sit in the sukkah. Yeah, you're going to have to leave the sukkah, right? Just like the Gemara says over there, that you're allowed to make the mechitza if you initially do it with tzorach b'nei odom. There's a whole way of doing it, a whole kunta. So it's over here, ultimately you're doing it with tzorach b'nei odom, because if the mace does begin to decompose, people are going to have to leave the sukkah. So therefore there's no problem of making protection for the mace. That isn't an issue. Okay, that's just as an aside. But what we see from this is that there is no problem with making mechitza with an odom. Fine. Says the Gemara, Kashin Adodi. But at the end of the day, though, okay, I've got my brisa, you've got your brisa. The brisas are a stira to one another. So to that we say, Lo Kasha, that's not a problem. Hor Rabbi Eliezer, Hor Rabbanan. The brisa which doesn't allow it is Rabbi Eliezer. The brisa which does allow it is the Rabbanan. The Stamba that we've learned in the Mishnah, Pekeh Kachaloi. When it comes to the stopper of a window, which translates for the time being as that, Rabbi Eliezer over Rabbi Eliezer says, "Bizman shekosher betoli." Remember, windows in times gone by, windows, skylights were just a hole in the wall or the ceiling. So, if you want to close them up, you put something in, you block it up with it. So, bizman shekosher betoli. So, if it's tied on to the wall or the window, and it's hanging off the ground, then it doesn't look like a boner proper. It just looks like you're closing the window, and therefore, pokekimbo perfectly fine to use. In Laman, if not in pokekimbo, you can't use it. Either way, you can use it because you're just being moisif on an oil, and therefore it's nothing to worry about, right? Most of our oil are right, it's perfectly fine, and therefore even if it's on the ground, you pick it up and put it into the wall. As we said, applications of that would include, we mentioned, if you've got one of these portable air conditioning units, and you've got something you put into the window to seal it up. Yeah, where you open the window, you seal it up, and it's got like a funnel through it. That would be perfectly fine, according to the Rabbanan, to put on there on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's made for that, put up and down, doesn't have to be tied on in any way. I think we also talked about possible, I think we mentioned as well, this Pekeh Kachaloi, not really the sugya here, but from Shlomo Zalman, wants to use it as a, with regard to plugs, right? Plugs on Shabbos. He wants to say something plugged into the wall, although you think that's worse, right? It's worse than batteries, because plugging into the wall is mamashet, it's connected to the ground. He says, no, it's no worse than pekeh kachaloi. You're putting it into the wall, it's a pekeh. That's the, it's connecting it to the ground, but that's like a pekeh kachaloi. If you look at Rashi in, I think it's Shabbos, says over there the water pekeh kachaloi is, because why? Because it's made for that. It's clearly made to be put in and out, and therefore that's just ishtamshus. There's no problem, there's no boner whatsoever. And therefore, he says, he's not worried about any completing circuits or anything like that. He says that in terms of the joining up to the wall or anything like that, so what? This is no different to Pekeh Kachaloi. Yeah.
Right, that's so what's this an Alchemina in practice?
That it would be better, therefore, going to Rosh Lema Zalman to use a plug it in rather than using batteries, because batteries, you have to keep changing the batteries.
If you had a situation where you need to use electricity.
I'm talking about Pekeh. If they've got a choice between plugging into the wall, I mean, somebody asked me a few weeks ago about this very shy. They've got a choice between plugging into the wall, or they have to. There's no choice about it. They have to do it on Shabbos. So plugging into the wall or batteries, and they have to change the batteries every 4 hours.
How to change the batteries?
Changing batteries, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, batteries don't last forever. Changing batteries is a shy of deraisa. Even he's masking that could be a shy of deraisa, because he has no reason. The machine is dead. Without the batteries, it's missing a part of the machine. It's like again, or the Yehuda Nain initially was Martin, and something he was later on. Others disagree with the whole thing, but as far as he's concerned, plugging into the wall is not a shayla at all.
Well, you're not creating a circuit that doesn't matter.
He doesn't have a problem with computing stuff.
Perhaps if it then operates, what was it operating? I missed the beginning.
Any machine.
Fan, something like that.
Something for the coder. Any machine for the coder. Oxygen
tank. Even that packet of Helen, you'd be alright in that. You still have the battery, would be more problematic, wouldn't it?
Because the only reason he's not worried about Bainham when it comes to the circuit is because he can't see it. Here you're joining up to the wall. It's something joined to the ground. That's more than Bainham's theory of the cadence. There's no Bainham there because it's Packer.
Otherwise it could be Bainham.
And there's no scale coming to him because that's
device which lasts about 2.5 days. It can vary depending on usage. So on a 3-day yontif, when I charge it up literally to the moment before I have to be and then I have to hope it goes all the way. But if I have to recharge it, would I be better to do it on the 7-day yontif rather than the, if I got Thursday, Friday, Shabbos? So would I be better to do it on 7-day yontif rather than on the Shabbos?
Yes. Besides anything else, if it goes dead and then you plug it in, I'm just saying if it's gone dead and a person plugs it in, that is zikha worse. But that is worse than if the person charges it when there's still life in it.
As you can hear, it gives me all these warnings.
Right.
Because hours beforehand, and I can't turn the warnings off, which is fine if I'm at home or whatever, but when I'm.
Would it be better, secondly? Yeah, you're saying because it's Yom Tov Sheni.
I don't need it then, but I will need it for sure.
Setting the table for Shabbos, some say that the Erev Tav Sheni doesn't work.
Not everyone.
I'm saying it's a matter of how far Erev Tav Sheni works. The vault of Erev Tav Sheni is you started the preparation, therefore it allows you to complete the cooking. It doesn't allow you to do whatever you want.
But I thought you could. Because you can carry for cooking, carry for other things as well.
I've seen, even setting the table, you would have thought is. I believe not everyone agrees, or washing up, maybe it's washing up the dishes, I think it is, maybe even setting the table. Not everyone agrees with all these things, that some hold yes, some hold not. So it's not a blanket rule of...
Works for Bishul onto other things, but not for Erev Tav Sheni necessarily, because you need that beginning.
According to that view, I assume that's the longest binding. Different shit is how far the Erev Tav Sheni works. Okay, so fine. Moving on in the case of the Pekah Kachaloyim. This Pekah Kachaloyim, so Tosfos brings this machloket between Rashi and Tosfos. What is the Pekah Kachaloyim? Rashi in Masechta Shabbos learns the Pekah Kachaloyim is in the skylight. Why? Because Rashi supposedly holds there's no such thing as making an oil in just a vertical wall. And he's got a couple of rides to it. One of them is from a Gemara later on Daf Tani Dalet over here, where you have the case there where Rav and Shmuel, they were sitting, let's say, in a garden, the fence in between the two gardens collapsed, okay? So remember, there's a machlokes anyway there between Rav and Shmuel as to whether you're allowed to continue carrying from your house up to where your fence used to be, and our neighbor did the same. That Rav holds yes, and Shmuel, sorry, other way around, Shmuel allows that, and Rav does not, right? He does not. Now, this took place in the place of Shmuel, and that's why Rav doesn't actually object, he just shows his displeasure. And what happened was that the fence collapsed, so Shmuel instructed them, go take a sheet and put the sheets where the fence used to be. So Rav turns his face away. Right, that's it. Now, the Gemara asks over there, but hold on, according to Shmuel, why do you need the sheet? You can carry anyway up to where the fence used to be. And the Gemara answers, he did it for tenuous reasons. Just they wanted a bit of privacy from the other garden. That's why he did it. So now, what's the mashma from that? This is Rashi's diuk. It's mashma, if not for the fact that Shmuel allowed you to carry up to the fence, even without the fence, right, to where the fence used to be, in other words, then I wouldn't have asked that question. Then I would have understood why you're putting up the sheet. Well, hold on a second, how do you have to put up a sheet? Why is that a problem, not a problem of Asiyatoya? Sure, that would have been a question. Much more from the Gemara, I wouldn't have asked the question. That's the way Rashi is Madaik is. Elamai, you see, there's no such thing as Asiyatoya when you're making a vertical machitza. Right? Are you going to ask me, so why did Rav turn his face away? What was his problem? And the answer is, according to Rashi, the Rav's objection was, because it was carrying the sheep to make it, because he also can't carry that. So how did you manage to get the sheep there? That was Rav's problem. Fine. That's point number one. Point number two is you have a Gemara in Sukkah. There's a Gemara in Sukkah where there was a chotzer, had a house where the Sefer Torah was stored, another building, we'll call it shul, where they brought it normally before Shabbat. They forgot to do it. They forgot to bring this to it, you know, to the shul before Shabbos. There was no Eidim in the chotzer, so what to do? So the Eidim was given, you know what they should do? This is what it sounds like in the Gemara. Initially, they spread sheets there to create the pathway, which was a private pathway now, just between the house and the shul. So now they were able to bring the Sefer Torah there. And the Gemara asks, really? Are you allowed to put up sheets to chatzchila? But surely everyone agrees you can't make an Eidim, right? But chatzchila b'Shabbos like over here. So Rashi just says, I'm not curious then. Take that out. Rather, Rashi got a different gear, so which is, you think they put the sheet there? In other words, Rashi learns the kashis, how did they bring the sheets through a Rosh Hashanah? And to that, the Gemara answers, no, the sheets were already there. Right? The sheets were already in place. So, Tosfos, that is the base of Rashi's shita, and therefore Rashi learns it must be a skylar. Tosfos has about four different objections to this. Number one, you can't just change the gear in Sukkah because it doesn't fit with your shita. Point one. Point number two is, what sort of kasha is that? How did they bring the sheets? Why are you assuming they brought them through Rosh Hashanah? Who says? Where's the assumption for that? I mean, maybe Rashi learns that just was the case over there, but fine. The third one, and this is the one which is most negative to us, is, okay, the change of the girsa, Rashi's come into the shita, so he changes the girsa. The second one, that was the mitzvah, that was the case there, that the Gemara understood that they brought them through Rosh Hashanah. That was just the Gemara's understanding. The third one is, what do you do without sukkah over here? The whole thing with the sukkah and with the mechitzas with Bnei Adam. These are all vertical. And the Gemara talks about oil. And then you've got a fourth objection, which is that you don't call it a chaloin in the roof. You don't call it a chaloin, you call it an aruba. You wouldn't call it a chaloin. Okay, maybe right.
Aruba is on top.
Correct. So I would suggest that Rashi will say that the difference between a chalon and an aruba is not the positioning. I'm just adding this now off the cuff because I just thought of this now. Rashi will tell you, no, that's not the difference. Because what's your rider in the roof is called an aruba. You look at the Gemara in Beit Zohar, the machine in Pirish Terach Aruba. Rashi will turn round. We didn't say aruba there either. This is not Losh and Torah. But Rashi will probably turn around to you and say, no. Chaloin is to do with just the nature of it. Chaloin maybe is much smaller than an aruba. It's not so much to do with the fact that it's in the roof. If you've got the same size chaloin in the roof, it's not an aruba is made, presumably it's made for lowering things through or something like that. So that's an aruba. A chaloin, something which is just there to give a bit of air or light, That's called the chalev.
But you get your rain that's coming through as
well. You know, but again,
Aruba usually is getting stuck from that. Beta Aliyah, they have a hole.
Correct. But it's like you can get in the roof, you can get these sukkah roof. Or you can get a tiny little thing. People make theirs, in case there's a fire, you know, or something, for smoke, you know, so it's self-release. You have in these stairwells of these buildings, they have them. So, we had in one of our old things, I think by law they have to have them. Right, so let the smoke out. It's a tiny little, it's a tiny window. So there, maybe you'd say the same sort of thing. One is called the Chalim, one's the Maruah. It's not a question of the positioning of it, according to Rashi. Rashi would say it's a difference in the whole nature of it. What it's there for. And Aruba is made for a different purpose. What I'm saying is, I'm trying to just, as it were, brush off the other question, because the Ica question I want to deal with is the third question. Right? First question again, changing the Girsa, Rashi was saying, okay, it's not the first time I've done it. This is my Girsa. Is this my Shetta, or that's the Girsa? The second question, which is about, well, how do they brought through? Why did Gemara assume they brought through? So that was the understanding. That's very often we find that, not very often, sometimes we say, we're missing bits in the Gemara, but that was the understanding in the Beis HaMedrash. Fine. The fourth question, Aruba and Chalon, that is more of a, you say the difference between Chalon and Aruba. But the third question, what do we do with that? Right? So we said like this, we said in terms of the sukkah, the sukkah, clearly the Gemara says, if you build the third wall, it's called making an ayah. Ayah, it's a wall. So we said that the pshat may be, because when you make the third wall, you've changed the foliage on top into being sukkah. You've changed the roof. The roof until now was just a bit of foliage, now it becomes Selshah Mitzvah. So it had made the difference to the canopy on top. Therefore, that's why it's an ayah. And that answer we found the Morgana Shlomo gives, Morgana Shlomo and Shabbos. He actually says the mushroom from Rashi of Yadin Kitabahas from Devin Chanishi, it's a mushroom, I like that. The Ponim Iris also gives this teret. And Morgana Shlomo says a little bit more, but that's what we said. The problem is, though, that's very nice for Sukkah. That's what we spoke about in the Sefer Shabbos. But we've got a different issue to deal with, and that is, but what about the case of Nehemiah, Al Gemara over here? There's no roof whatsoever. There's only vertical machines. And the Gemara is very clear. We're discussing issues here, and not according to Rashi the Maskana. It's an issue of Baina, right? It's in Atiyas Machitzas. Oh, yeah. So we said that, well, what does Tosfos say to all
this? Surely a vertical thing. You build a vertical wall, that is bonus. I mean, you're building.
So we figure out this in the shape. If you take bricks and cement and you make a wall of that, I don't think Rashi would debate that. I'm talking about if you just hang up a sheet. That's not bona. It's not ultimate. It's a bona can only come if it's got the dinner bona. Otherwise, it's not bona. You're not putting bricks or anything like that. That's not bona automatically. And Kutosa says yes, Rashi says not. Hogu, that's what the Amiga Machalik is about. So the question is, what do we do with Rashi in terms of this?
When they make the path with people, they're not making it with sheets. I mean, I don't understand the connection.
So that's why it's a question on Rashi. That is the question on Rashi.
What's the question?
Because it's clear from the Gemara over here that building a wall with people is a shayla of ayah. According to Rashi, vertical walls like that shouldn't be an issue of ayah. Rashi holds ayah is only on the horizontal. There's no horizontal there,
there's no root there.
So we said like this, Shittas Tosfos is that vertical walls can be a problem, but only if it's a mechitza matelet. A mechitza which is just there for tzmiyah purposes, such as the fourth wall of a sukkah or something like that, no, that wouldn't be an issue. When you're dealing with something which is matir, I couldn't eat here because I only had two walls, now I can eat the third one. I couldn't carry here because there was no eruv here, I put out the sheets. That would be a matir. Or the case on Daftali Dalad, when the wall collapses, right, when the wall collapses, 100%. If Shmuel would have held that you can't carry without the sheet being put there, Kolchigan would have had a question. What the Gemara is saying is, since according to Shmuel you can carry, so now I'm wondering why you're putting up the sheet. If Shmuel would have held that you can't, then yes, I would have had a different question. I would be asking a different question, which is, what's the heifer's put up the sheet? But I know the answer to that, because it's not a mechitza matzeret. I've got a different question, which is, so what's the need for it? Fine, so it's just a different house without the Gemara. So we said, according to Rashi will say, we're going to move it one stage up. So it says, a mechitza that's near, nah, that's alright. Mechitza Materet, oh, that's already got a Chashivus. And she says, no, no. Mechitza Materet, only if there's a roof. Only if it's a roof. But if it's a Mechitza which is more than a Materet, it changes the whole effort, the whole nature of the domain. That already even Rashi holds, that's an Oil. In other words, according to everyone, it's a question of how Choshev it is. Tosfos holds it's enough when it goes from being Tznius to being Mater and Issel. Rashi holds it's got to do more than just being Mater, it's got to change the nature of the domain. So therefore, let's put it into practice. The case of Naftali Dalit. When the fences collapsed, it was two Rosh Hashayachim beforehand, it's still a Rosh Hashayachim, it's just one big Rosh Hashayachim. Mitzad, the nature of the domain, it's a Rosh Hashayachim. So putting back the sheet, taking away the sheet, that's not, it may be a Mater, but it's not changing the actual nature of the domain. It was a Rosh Hashayachid, it's still a Rosh Hashayachid. The case in Sukkah, it was a Rosh Hashayachid with an issue with Eruv, because you didn't have an Eruv there, there were too many houses opening up onto the Chotzer. I put the sheets up on, now I've got a Rosh Hashayachid without the issue of Eruv. That's a Mechitza Materet, but it's not a Mechitza that changes the nature of it. Kolshkin, in the case of Pekat Chalon, it's not doing anything, you just put it into the wall. Mashay, Kenan Adamora. We said clearly, where the Chenya was, you don't have a Rosh Hashayachid, he's not surrounded by Mechitza all the way back to his Tukhun, because otherwise he would have walked back. He wouldn't be stuck in Dalet Amis. Eramai, it must be he's stuck in the Rosh Hashayachid, hence he's only got Dalet Amis to move. When you put the people around him, you're creating a Rosh Hashayachid. Oh, that's the problem of making an Oyel. And if we say that, then coming back to the question of Sukkah, we can now answer the question of Sukkah without coming onto the Sukkah. I don't have to come onto the Sukkah. When I only had two wolves, it wasn't a Rosh Hashayachid and it wasn't a Kosher Sukkah. When I put up the third wool, it becomes both a Kosher Sukkah and actually becomes a Rosh Hashayachid. The Gemara Sukkah that says, Migu Dema, since it works for Sukkah, it works for Shabbos on Sukkot as well. So you've changed the nature of the area. And Rashi agrees that that's an Oyel. Halacha Lamaisa, we pass in, the mission test. So the thing is, we pass in Mechitza Materet is the issue, but a person has to realize only Mechitza Materet, because it's something that actually is Mater and Issel. So for example, putting up poroches, if the orientation is different, it's not a problem. As long as it just hangs down, there's no actual overhang of a tefach. When it comes to certainly the person's got to be elected to be matir, husband and wife to be together, if there's a light in the room or there's a sefer Torah in the room, so there are different dayas, but some want to say that over there, potentially it's not a problem, because if a person, basically it will depend on how a person does it. If the light on the sefer Torah can still be seen, so then the matir is a mechitza, in which case it has to be tied down at the bottom as well, the sheet has to be properly tied. If, however, a person does it shut and the sheet goes up, so you can no longer see the light, it's covering the light, the issue, that, right? Again, if the light can be seen, it's also the mi'ikah azim, it may be mutter, but it's not ideal. The idea is to cover the light, then it's working out kitsui. That's not a mechitza matir, it's a kitsui, you don't have to be tied at the bottom. That was zikha, they want to say it would be mutter. So we talked about in a shul, right, mechitza in order to allow men and women to daven. So we talked about this sort of thing. The place can say, if it's a mechitza, let's say for a shir, that zikha is mutter because you don't really need a mechitza. It's just a hecker to show that here the women is, the men, you can have 3 to 4 of them, it's good enough. The place can say. However, if it's a mechitza for davening, that is a little bit, you know, a little bit less clear. You see, because if you have something which goes all the way up, so it works out to kisui, no, that could be that, you know, if you're just worried there's one woman davening there. I don't need mechitza per se, it's in a private house, I don't need mechitza. No, she's not dressed appropriately. So then, a mechitza wouldn't work anyway. It's got to be a kiss, it's got to be something that actually takes it out of eyesight, so that definitely wouldn't be a problem. If ever you're talking about in a shul where you do need a mechitza, not a lot, but you need a mechitza, so if you're going to say that, you know what, it's good enough, strictly speaking, 10 spot, if you go with that, 10 spot, it's tied to the bottom, then we can clear. And on face of it, you may have said, well, it's a mechitza materet now, it's a mechitza materet, which is the view of some poskim. Some poskim do say it's a problem to put such a thing up on Shabbos, even to wheel one in would be the same thing. Wheeling along, you're still making a mechitza in that spot. However, the majority of poskim say it's not mechitza materet, it's still got a din tznius. It's true, you're not supposed to daven without the mechitza, but the mitre, it's a din tznius, it's a very
if it's like when it's folded, the moving mechitza, and it's a tefach, it's like when the
I'm not talking about that. That's something else. I'm talking about where you don't have that. There's nothing there. Right? What you've got here in the back here is not a mechitza.
No, okay.
Right, that's a curtain.
That's a curtain.
They have
bamboo collapsible.
The cutter part of it is not, isn't, because it's not flaps around. That's not machita. And it's a machita tuluya. I mean, that's
so
not.
We don't need one here in shul. In order for it to be a mechitza,
no, to be a problem, not to be a mechitza, no, to be a problem.
To make a mechitza, to be also to make a mechitza.
To an issa of mechitza,
it's going to change the domain.
Right. It's not shut without it, if you don't, that's not a mechitza.
No, I understand. So for that, it has to change the domain. But what we pass is just chitza materis is good enough.
We paskin there's an issa on Shabbos to make a mechitza materis. Rashi holds a mechitza materis.
So we don't paskin like Rashi. That's what I'm saying.
I think in Shabbos as well. We talked about if you just got a roof without the side, then that's issa of oil. We said that there's a tefillah of dovah. Something is it says that's mutter. That's why on it's a paskin. It's not a justification. Right, with the making for the kohanim and the chatanim, etc. That is, I mean, we're judging by the ones I've seen. It was a number of years ago when I was here for when they bring in at the beginning. Right, it doesn't look like a much of a like a looks like this, you know, on the poles and when they bring in the. I don't think that qualifies anyway.
Qualifies as what?
You know what I mean? Because there's not enough room, so people are walking in like this and just about get the guy underneath and. It's not stretched out. It's sagged.
But even if it was smaller, it could be stretched so it's flat.
Correct. That itself would be that's one possibility. There's another possibility, maybe the chasanish that somebody brings, I can't remember who brings it, but is a handheld one. Isn't a problem either. Since they're being held by, the poles are being held by people, so that would be another reason to be mounted. Okay, I'm saying that those, that is a little bit of an overview of the subject of Asiyah Zayin. Fine, let's move on to the Gemara. So the Gemara thinks, okay, that seems to be the solution here as well, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Sorry, you can't put the person there, whatever it is, because that's a problem of being mostly on a being mostly on an oil. According to Rabbi, no problem. You can be mostly on an oil, right? No problem. Right, like the Pekek HaKhalek, be moistened, no problem. So to that, by the way, the Shir, I actually meant to say at the beginning, but it should be the Ili Nishmas both for Reb Sholem Ben Reb Noah Halevi and for Reb Tzvi Ben Reb Shlomo Zalman, both whose Yortzeit is tomorrow, this evening, in other words, both grandfathers tomorrow. I had it in mind at the beginning, I forgot to say it though, but I did have it in mind. Right. So, fine. So the Gemara says that, the Gemara challenges this and it says, that's not a good answer, because Vohikma lo shulishni says on it, Omar Rabu Baba Chana, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, Hakol Motin, that everyone agrees, She'ein Osin Oel Arai, but Tchilo be Yom Tov. You're not allowed to make an Oel Arai to start with on Yom Tov. The Yom Tov of Lem B'Shalik, I don't need to tell you on Shabbos. The Nefliku Ela Lohisif, from our Kwekis, then with regards to being Moisif on an Oel. Shirab Eliezer, Omer Rab Eliezer says, Eim Osif in Yom Tov. You can't add on Yom Tov. But Eim Osor of Lem B'Shalik, I don't need to tell you on Shabbos. Now Chachom Eim, whereas the Chachom is saying, Moisif in B'Shalik, you can add on Shabbos. Eim Osor of Lem B'Yom I don't need to tell you on Yom Tov. But over here, according to our understanding now, you're making an oil to start with, right? Yeah. You didn't have a kosher sukkah beforehand, right? So Kadesha, Yochav, Yishter, this is making an oil. This is not being motivated on an oil. So that answer is out the window. Elo, rather says the Gemara, no kosher, it's not a problem. So what's the answer? The answer is like this. Hork Rabbi Meir, Hork Rabbi Yehuda. One goes like Rabbi Meir, and one goes like Rabbi Yehuda. What's that? The Tanya, because it's been taught in a Braisa. If a person used an animal as a wool for the sukkah, Rabbi Meir says it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda Machshe, and Rabbi Yehuda says it is good. So we think about this. And the way Rashi explains it is, what's the problem with an animal? Rashi says, because maybe the animal's going to run away. Very interesting that Rashi should say that, because, as Tosfos we quoted at the beginning of the year, says, that's not the Maskan of the Gemara over there. Okay, I know why Rashi says it, because the Gemara is going to say, well, you've only heard it by Behemoth, not by Odom and Canaan. We've only passed it by Behemoth. What do you mean? If it's because of the Maskan of the Gemara in Sukkah, Odom is the same as Behemoth. Elamai, the Gemara is going in the Mando Oma Shemot Tibach. It's to do with animals running away, people don't run away. But Tosfos says the Gemara only asked that later on as like, well, according to that Mando Oma, what are you going to do? That's all we're asking, yeah? But Rashi already at this point says Shemot Tibach. It makes it sound like Rashi is saying, no. The Gemara, the Dafka, is going in that understanding. That may not be the Maskan of the Gemara Sukkah, that's fine. But that is the understanding we're going in right now. What pushes Rashi to say that? Well, from the Gemara we said afterwards. Not the way Tosfos learned it, which is, well, what are you going to do according to that Manda? What do I have to do according to that Manda? It's not the Maskana. No, Rashi says we're going in that Manda Omar. And the question is, why would we be going in that Manda Omar? That's what Hashem will answer. I don't believe today, but we'll answer that. Okay, so this is what we quote. Rabbi Meir says it's no good, an animal is no good, let's get that Rashi says because it may run away. Rabbi Yehuda says it's good. So we say like this. Rabbi Meir is called Pasil Hotam. Rabbi Meir was Pasil by the Sukkah, he says it's Pasil for the Mechita. Almost you see, La Mechita, Nishka Mechita. So Hotam Shori, so therefore to build it on Yom Tov, to put the person there is perfectly permissible. Why? Then I'll be the call because you're not doing anything. It's not a Mechita. Rabbi Yehuda is called Machshir Hotam, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, says an animal is kosher over there. Almost you see mechita, it is a mechita. So Hocha Osar over here, he's going to Asa. Now, there is the obvious question over here, which is,
it's not mechita, what is it?
So what are you doing? Exactly. It does say in the second verse, which is matter, it says, Leishu Yichad Yishtev Yoshe, in order that he can eat, sleep, right, drink and sleep there. So, what's going on? Rashi says, you're right, we could have asked that question, but we're going to have got two other questions anyway. So he said, yeah, very good, you've got two other questions. But this is the most basic and obvious question. Like, we don't even understand the Havman. It's like we've got Pirkos on the fundamental Gemara makes, Kal V'Chomer. You have two sorts of Pirkos. You have the normal Pirko, and then you have what we call Pirkos Me'ikro Zedina. Pirkos Me'ikro Zedina means your original flaw, your original logic, where you even began from is flawed. You know, if Kal V'Chomer is built on, like, the basics, and if your basics are flawed, that's called the Pirkos Me'ikro Zedina. It doesn't make any sense to what you're saying, Bechal. The next question is the Gemara, like, okay, let's accept what you said, but what's going to be, you know, with Odom and Behemoth? It doesn't make any sense what you said. It doesn't fit. So we said, and just to build it up, say this, because otherwise it'll get a little bit too complicated, but we will tweak it, there's a little bit in Rashi once we get to the end of the Mahalik and Rashi. We said that the Ritzvah essentially seems to answer this question. And that is because, look, if that's your only question, no. I wouldn't be. I could wriggle it out of it because I could say, you know what it means. Kadesh Yehuda Yishtev Yoshim. We're not talking about Tov this. We're talking about Shavuos. It's Yom Tov, and you're sitting in a hut. It's not the only place where you find the Gemara in Sukkah, but the Rabbi Eliezer talks about such a case. The Gemara says, no, the Sukkah wasn't on Sukkah. It was a different Yom Tov or a different Shabbos, whatever it was a different time. It's a red herring. Sukkah doesn't mean here a Sukkah in the sense of your thing. It's just a place where you get a bit of a nice place to eat. Yeah? So that, if that's your only question, no. The mice we could do a little bit better according to Rashi. And that is because we're going to suggest like this, that according to Rashi, well, that should be continued, but according to Rashi, we're going to suggest a little bit more than that. And that is, no. There's not a husband and we're not talking about circus. But there's a fundamental difference between whether this person you're putting in, the person, behavior, whatever it is, you're putting in there, if it's Makshe the Sukkah, that's going to be far more fundamental, it's much more chashivas to that, than if it's not much of a sukkah. I mean, it's no good for a sukkah. Oh, but a maaseh, b'metzias, can you eat there now with a bit of privacy? Yes, because you've got three walls. So it's not a mechitah which is much of a sukkah. Okay, so it doesn't get a shame, oil kavah. This is Rashi at the beginning. If you look at Rashi, we're going to bear Rashi and build that up properly next time. There's a whole ma'alik in Rashi here. You medayek Rashi very carefully, you avoid the question of Tosfos, etc. It's because Rashi learned at this stage of the Gemara, we're going to change it later on. At this stage of the Gemara, we think if you were to make a kosher sukkah, albeit for 7 days, but that the hot sukkah is only 7 days, that would have a shem oil kavah. Because kavah is not totally on zman, 168 hours. It's the 168 hours out of 168 that you need that gives it a shem oil kavah. Because I only need 168 hours. If it's 1 hour of 168, you still have LRI. But since the going to Rabbi Meir doesn't make a kosher sukkah, so what does it do? It gives you a bit of privacy for a bit of time. Nulu, when the behemoth walks off, so you've lost it. That's an LRI. And therefore, that's the Gemara's answer. That will answer Kedushiyah for the Yishtav Yashim. We're talking about on sukkahs, but not necessarily to be much of the sukkah. Beit Hashem will explain that in more detail next time. It's got to be explained more, but that's the last one.